And this is Quality News Network. In a surprise move, President Bush flew to Iraq overnight, arriving this morning for face-to-face meetings with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who was notified just 5 minutes before Mr. Bush's arrival. The president had been scheduled to conduct those meetings from Camp David over a video teleconference hookup. Coinciding with the president's trip to Baghdad, Iraq has formally notified the U.N. Security Council that it wants the U.S.-led multinational force to remain in place for now because Iraqi troops and police are not yet ready to ensure security on their own. A resolution adopted by the Security Council to extend the force's mandate through the end of this year is scheduled to be reviewed next week. At least 70,000 coalition forces, most of them Iraqi, are being deployed on the streets of Baghdad in a massive effort to bring security to the Iraqi capital. They'll be enforcing checkpoints as well as an overnight curfew and will be wearing new uniforms to distinguish them from insurgents who wear fake uniforms and carry out attacks. More violence in Iraq today, a series of suicide attacks that left 32 people dead and dozens more wounded in Kirkuk. The explosions targeting police commandos, police stations, and patrols, as well as a busy food market. Tropical storm Alberto made landfall today in northwest Florida, bringing with it heavy rains and winds and some coastal flooding, but less damage than had been expected. There is word today that presidential adviser Karl Rove will not be charged by special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald in connection with the CIA leak case. An Israeli investigation concludes that the explosion on a Gaza beach that killed 7 people last Friday was caused by explosives planted there by Palestinian militants, not artillery fire from an Israeli Navy gunboat. In Gaza today, 11 people were killed, 9 of them civilians, in an Israeli missile strike on a van that Israel claims was carrying militants and rockets in Gaza. It's the deadliest such attack in nearly 4 years. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas calls it state terrorism. The United States today recognized the independence of Montenegro, helping cement the international community's acceptance of a referendum last month in favor of its breakaway from a union with Serbia. Diplomats in Vienna report that non-aligned states will back Iran's right to nuclear fuel production at a UN meeting this week, unmoved by U.S. calls to join efforts to get Tehran to stop enriching uranium. The U.S. government today reasserted its right to develop weapons for use in outer space to protect its military and commercial satellites and ruled out any global negotiations on a new treaty to limit them, as is being urged by China and Russia. And the European Union plans to use a summit with Mr. Bush next week to press for the closure of Guantanamo Bay detention camp.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Inflation at the wholesale level slowed in May after 2 big months of increases, even though gas prices and inflation pressures outside of energy and food continued to climb. The government's producer price index was up just 0.2% last month, better than economists had been expecting. However, the 12-month rise in the overall reading is now up 4.5%. A U.S. consumer group is suing the owner of the KFC chain, trying to force it to stop using trans fat and switch to a healthier cooking oil, or else to prominently warn consumers about the health hazard. Researchers report that drinking coffee cuts the risk of cirrhosis of the liver from alcohol by 22% per cup each day, but they stop short of saying doctors should prescribe coffee for that reason. The report from California's Kaiser Permanente Medical Care Program was based on data from over 125,000 people. Price of gas is on the rise again, up nearly a cent and a half a gallon last week. It's up 78 cents a gallon from a year ago. A new manpower survey shows that employers expect no significant changes in their rates of hiring for the next 3 months, but construction employment is edging down slightly. And a new U.S. law to deter Americans' consumers from seeking bankruptcy protection made filings plunge to a 20-year low the first quarter of this year, but there's been a rapid rise in new cases ever since. Light sweet crude oil is trading down at $68.45 a barrel this hour. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 9 points, NASDAQ is down 2, and the S&P 500 is off by 3. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
now. Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Where I am, it's Tuesday. Here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West Virginia, in our secure, remote, undisclosed, high-tech studio location. Second straight night after returning home. Where you are, I hope it's equally wonderful. Where George Bush is, he thinks that flying secretly to Baghdad and quietly shaking hands with Prime Minister al-Maliki, and a door slams, and he says, Jesus, are they shooting? He thinks that constitutes diplomacy. Really. No kidding. Where I am, it's the backside of a long and eventful day, the second day of the new horn lineup. And I hope you were able to be there for Guy James and Bruce Birch's programs, because they were magnificent. What a great little startup for the horn to have the presence of those two fellows there at the Washington Hilton for the Taking Back America conference. Of course, there were other people at the lots of people at the Taking Back America conference. Bill's wife was at the Taking Back America conference. Hillary was there. She delivered an address this morning. Apparently, it didn't go quite like she wanted it to go. I mean, that was a decidedly progressive gathering of individuals, and the boo birds were out. I guess that's the best way to put it. She took a stern booing because she wanted people to be moderate in their stance on the war. And she said that America has to reach out, progressives and liberals and Democrats have to reach out to centrist America on the war issues. Yes, she did. She said, quote, she wants Democrats to have, quote, a difficult conversation about their position on the Iraq war, in order to win over middle-of-the-road voters. Now, I run the risk of being negative, and I don't intend to be negative. But if middle-of-the-road voters are those voters who say, well, we can't leave Iraq right now. We can't cut and run. Then it confirms my suspicions that Jim Hightower was right when he said the only thing in the middle of the road are yellow stripes and dead armadillos. So I don't know who it is, Mrs. Clinton wants you and me as progressives and liberals to reach out to. Now, I have my own reasons for thinking that a Hillary candidacy for president in 2008 is just a galloping disaster, and we've discussed them in the past. she said, among other things, talking about Dear Leader, I do not think it is a smart strategy either for the president to continue with his open-ended commitment, which I think does not put enough pressure on the new Iraqi government. Nor do I think it's a smart strategy to set a date certain. Well, I tell you, there's some triangulating. No open-ended commitments, but no exit date. Oh, sometimes I wish I had a webcam. You'd see me right now, my big pink ugly mug with my eyes just kind of blinking. What the? Yeah, really. I do not think it is a smart strategy for the president to continue with his open-ended commitment. Nor do I think it is a smart strategy to set a date certain. Okay, then where's the middle of the road on that one? We can't set a date for coming home, but we can't leave the date open. I mean, isn't that one of those either or kind of questions? I mean, where's the wiggle room in that? Where's the negotiating room? Now, for my part, I'm not much interested in convincing middle of the road voters that some kid a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years from now gets to be the last person to die for a mistake. Because I take a fairly broad view that, and you've heard this, you've heard me say this before. Some of you share this sentiment. When you do something and you realize that in doing that thing, you have screwed up monumentally, then in order to stop screwing up monumentally, you must stop doing it as close to immediately as humanly possible. When you find out you are doing evil and you do not wish to be evil, you stop doing evil as quickly as possible. And by the way, God forbid this would be seen as my coming to the defense or anything like that of John McCain, because I would not wish to be perceived that way. But that whole line about having a difficult conversation among Americans, that's straight out of the damn speech he gave at Falwell University. Well, Falwell Mooney University. Because you know that Reverend Moon, yeah, owns a big chunk of it. Yeah, that was John McCain's. You know, we're going to disagree and we're going to have some disagreements and we need to have this debate. Really? And, you know, it may be a hard debate, but it's a conversation we have to have. You know, I saw it. Honest to Pete, I saw it on C-SPAN. I watched that speech to the weirdo right-wing religion industry radical fundamentalists that were being given little sheepskins for their pretend education where they can there at Falwell University. Heard the speech. And somebody, I guess, on Hillary's staff turned around and said, "Hey, you know what? That's a good line. Democrats have to have a difficult conversation about their position on the Iraq war in order to win over middle-of-the-road voters. I need some help here. What is it that middle-of-the-road voters believe that I have to have a difficult conversation with them about? Is it a difficult conversation because I've got to reach down in my soul and look at him and say, you bloodthirsty mugwumps, you're responsible for this crap? Now deal with it? Consider this an intervention? Is that what's so difficult about it? I got no problem doing that. I can do that with any Bush voter. You voted for Bush, you're responsible for this. You thought this war was a groovy idea? Well, yeah, I believed that, You know, they said that Saddam was had something to do with 9/11, and I believed him because it was all. I was watching Fox News at the time, and I was pretty sure that Martha Stewart was in cahoots with Saddam and Al Qaeda too, because it was on Fox News, and I was a Fox News viewer, and I was believing Fox News. And I'm supposed to have a difficult conversation with those boobies? If you are doing evil, or if you're screwing up, never mind, let's not use the big broad words like evil. If you're screwing up, and you find out you're screwing up, then if you are mentally healthy, you wish to not screw up anymore. And wishing not to screw up anymore, you take immediate steps to end the screw up. The screw up in this case is letting that jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue start a war with the country that hadn't done anything to us. Now, is Mrs. Clinton trying to tell me that the middle of the road voters are out there not sure if this war was wrong? We are over 3 years in. We are at a point where in the Second World War, we had, let's see, 45, we had pretty nearly caught Hitler. You know? And we still can't find the 6'6" Saudi dude with the portable dialysis machine in a cave. Mrs. Clinton. Sometimes this is a difficult conversation, in part because this administration has made our world more dangerous than it should be. If we're going to win in November, then we have to be smarter, tougher, and better prepared than opponents, because one thing they do know how to do is win, and we have to reach out to people who may not be able to agree with us.
Mrs. Clinton, you voted for the Help America Vote Act, honey. That's why they're able to win.
The stupid, dirty, damned little voting machines. And you voted for the Iraq War, and you voted to give more money to the Iraq War, and you come out and you say things like, we can't end the war, and we can't come home. And you go to the Chamber of Commerce meetings, and you say that the 20-somethings in America think that work is a four-letter word. You know, I mean, getting your fogey on, I guess. Must have got a bunch of harumphs from those Chamber of Commerce. Oh, harumph, harumph, lazy 20-year-olds, harumph! Mrs. Clinton. Go have lunch with Joe Lieberman or something. Let's take a break. Yeah, you know how the drill works. Your conversation is the heart and soul of this program. To do that, you got to pick up the phone. Then you got to punch in 877-443-2366. Agnes answers the phone, and the next thing you know, you're talking to the world. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
So it ain't easy to be seen. For me, see me ride by, they can see the gleam. My shine on the deck in the TV screen. Ride with a new chick, she like cola. Next to the PlayStation controller. If a full trip, then I'm gonna show ya. Send a jacker into. Girl, you know I'm crazy like crazy. Bone trying to make your money, trying to have no babies. Ride clean as well, so I pull in ladies. Laws are patrolling, you know they hate me. Music turn all the way up into the maximum. I got speakers, some boys try to jack for some, but we.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
I kind of hate even doing the Hillary stories, because I feel like I run the risk of being as batty as the goobers on the right who run around shooting watermelons every time her name is mentioned. And because they're a wacky bunch. I mean, Dan Burton, a congressman from Indiana, real freak, really did go out and shoot watermelons to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster. Really. But I can't get a handle on you know, I mean, she's just a lightning rod for right-wing hate, and I feel bad for her in that regard. And toward that end, you know, nobody should be that vilified by these fascist weenies. But she is. And for things that, you know, she's a liberal. Trust us. I mean, why don't they ask us? We're liberals. We can tell them she's not a liberal. We can tell them the things that she's done to prove to us that she's not a liberal, because she's done a bunch of them. Frankly, I don't think she's much of a centrist, whatever the hell that is. This is not a country that has centrists anymore. You know, Joe Lieberman tries to hold himself as a centrist. You know, and all he's done is empower dear leader. Joe Biden, who for some reason or another has renewed, I guess he's taken a big old dose of political Viagra or something, and he's got renewed presidential aspirations. And he thinks he's a centrist because why? I mean, because he helped shove a bankruptcy bill through Congress that does more harm to the middle class than just about any legislation that's been passed in recent memory? That makes him a centrist? There are no centrists. We got a right wing, and we got a left wing. Frankly, as someone on the left of the spectrum, most of my views I feel like are probably more in line with so-called traditional American values than most of us would be willing to acknowledge in many ways. Good job, health care, decent house, be able to get back and forth from work, be able to go to the doctor when you're sick, you know, that kind of health care. A national economic policy that means that the mortgage that you pay on your house isn't just monstrously loaded with interest. And somehow I'm just a May Day, Maypole dancing the commie for believing stuff like that. But in along with all of the rest, I also believe that you don't start wars and you don't vote for wars, Mrs. Clinton. When you know them to be wrong and you know them to be based on lies. You know, of course, this is one account of Mrs. Clinton's appearance. If you run over and don't, but I do get the weird little email alerts. If you see what they had over at NewsWax, bunch of right-wing goobers, their headline is Hillary pilloried by anti-war critic. Hillary pilloried. They're clever. Oh, there's some clever fascists. It says she went toe-to-toe Tuesday with some of her anti-war critics, opposing a hard deadline for withdrawing troops from Iraq and urging Democrats to unite to win back Congress. Now, of course, Newsmax didn't write that part. They just steal it from AP and write their own headline over it. Hillary pilloried by anti-war critics. And then the rest of the story doesn't mean to have anything to do with the headline. But, you know how it is with right-wingers. They just see the headline and their little lips move and Hillary pilloried, hickory dickory doc. At least I ain't led no humdrum life. We have to talk about the range of issues that are on their minds that they talk about around the kitchen table. We have to reach out to people who may not be able to agree with us. Next thing you know, she'll be going and addressing, Jerry Falwell University already graduated. Maybe they got a commencement slot open right after the leg presses at Pat Robertson University. Reach out. I guess there's a certain amount of truth in that. But every time, as far as I can tell, every time liberals and progressives reach out, they draw back a bloody stump. Maybe that's just my perception. No, that's a bloody stump. Yeah. No. 'Cause they're mean. Remember, we're dealing with mean people. And remember the bumper sticker. Mean people suck. Moderates on the war? How is there a moderate left on the war? Well, we could still win, maybe, kind of, sort of, you betcha, by golly. I tell you what, we need to fund the Iraqis so they can build themselves an army and put it in the field, and then we can kick that army's ass, and then we'll call it victory and come home, okay? Yeah, there's a plan! Kind of makes your head hurt, doesn't it? Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, so let's take our break. Jump right in if you feel so inclined, 877-443-2366. When we come back, let's revisit Mr. Zarqawi for just a minute, if you don't mind. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is the Head On Radio Network.
To WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Nashville transit workers are one step closer to taking a ride on the strike line. This weekend, city transit workers voted 190-12 against the most recent contract proposal from Nashville's Metropolitan Transit Authority. According to the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1235, the union that represents the workers, they are frustrated over plans to make changes to employee health insurance by raising the premium and cutting benefits. No new negotiations have been scheduled, and the strike option is back on the table. Going into the vote, both the union and the Metro had expressed that they believed the contract would be accepted.
As the UAW meets in Las Vegas for its constitutional convention, talks are still underway to iron out a comprehensive agreement with Delphi in its bankruptcy. Progress has been made with a new buyout agreement for all Delphi workers subsidized by GM, but serious issues remain. UAW President Ron Gettelfinger says the only way out of the downward spiral the UAW faces is through organizing. Transplant auto factories that make foreign makes in the U.S. now have 22% of the market, while GM, Daimler, Chrysler, and Ford combined have 53%. Delphi's bankruptcy hearings are scheduled to resume August 11th. Meanwhile, Delphi's management and accounting practices are under a federal investigation that has reportedly been underway for 2 years. Six Delphi executives, including Chief Financial Officer Alan Dawes, former Treasurer Pam Geller, and Chief Accountant and Controller Paul Free, all left the company in the wake of this investigation. The U.S. Justice Department is conducting a criminal investigation, while the SEC conducts a civil probe into Delphi management. All of this is unfolding while talks are still underway between the UAW, Delphi, and GM seeking final resolution to Delphi's bankruptcy and restructuring.
A bill in New York State that would have allowed operators of small daycare centers be classified as public employees for the purpose of union representation has been vetoed. Governor George Pataki vetoed the measure, saying it would be an inappropriate classification and would possibly jeopardize $300 million in federal funding. The bill would have impacted 50,000 daycare workers and mirrors similar bills approved in Illinois, Washington, and Iowa. The United Federation of Teachers and the Civil Service Employees Association had sought the designation as it would have helped lift up individuals who care for the future students of New York. Here is today's economic report. The lunch hour is nearing extinction in the United States. According to a study by office furniture maker Steelcase, 55% of workers take a half hour or less for lunch. 63% of the 1,000 workers polled said that the lunch hour is the biggest myth in the working world. In 2005, workers spent on average 31 minutes for lunch breaks. In 1996, the average was 36 minutes for lunch.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
I'm so glad you're with us tonight. By us, I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket. I mean the lovely Agnes and me. I'm so glad you could join us, and I hope you will enjoy yourself this evening. I've got a program note for you. I just got confirmation this evening. For those of you, if you weren't interested in information, if you weren't interested in learning, if you weren't interested in participatory democracy, you'd be watching whatever drivel was going across the UPN or the WB or the Fox or the ABC or the CBS or the NBC right now. So I'm assuming you'll all be interested in this. Friday evening, shortly after the program begins, I am very proud I just crossed my fingers and hope this happens. Quite the interesting interview coming. Bruce Fein. Did you watch the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings when Russ Feingold showed up and no other Democrats showed up, and he called a couple of witnesses to talk about the dirty, sleazy job of spying on America that the Bush administration's doing? Bruce Fein was one of the people who testified about that. Bruce Fein is a constitutional lawyer. Bruce Fein is a former assistant deputy attorney general. Bruce Fein knows where the punctuation is in the Constitution, okay? And to be fair, Bruce Fein and I do not share a political philosophy. He's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I think one would be hard-pressed to call Bruce Fein a liberal or a progressive. But this man knows the Constitution, and he's calling, I'd say he and Jonathan Turley are two of the biggest constitutional scholars who are calling him like they see him. And Bruce Fein will be joining us Friday evening on the program. We'll talk for 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so about the NSA domestic surveillance, spying, for God's sakes. Surveillance, okay? No, it's spying. We'll talk about that. We will talk about the fact that there is debate ongoing in the Senate this week that would put to bed. Can you imagine? The Senate, rather than deal with this, there's that phrase, head on, their approach to George Bush just sort of doing with the Constitution what you and me do with Charmin, instead of dealing with that and taking him to task for spying on America, the response in the Senate may very well be this week to expand his powers and say, okay, so fine, you do that, George. You can do that. Attaboy, George. Let George do it. And apparently Mr. Fein is rather dismayed by this approach to constitutional law by the United States Senate. So he will be joining us right after the start of the program on Friday evening. Knock wood. That's me hitting my head. Knock wood. He'll be with us, and I'm really looking forward to it. Because I got a bunch of questions. I'm already working on them. I mean, things that, you know, it's not just every day you get to ask somebody, you know, how do they come... You know, I want to ask how the Tinkerbell theory of constitutional law actually works. And by the way, in the meantime, I'll be happy to put together a list if you're familiar with Mr. Fein's work and Mr. Fein's thoughts. Feel free to shoot me any questions you may have, and I'll try to put them on the list. And we'll try to get some questions answered. I said before the break that I wanted to come back and touch just a little bit on the Zarqawi issue, because sometimes things just sort of have to ruminate and stew before you get the full import of them. And one of those things was the autopsy report on Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Because after sitting there and describing, yes, his cuticles were badly severed, that was the cuticle severing machine. After, you know, but, you know, he had terrible abrasions and contusions. Well, you know, it appeared he had a non-displaced fracture of the left lower external dorsal flepnectin bone. After going through all of that, they finally got around to say, but, you know, it was the concussive impact of those 500-pound bombs that did him in. Because, you know, I mean, for a guy who got a bomb dropped on the house that he was in, he was looking pretty good in the photographs. For a corpse. And as a, you know, so they, you know, it was the concussive force of the blast. And they went into great sort of Quincy medical examiner detail on what the concussive force of a blast does. And apparently, without necessarily ripping you open, it can turn your insides into a sort of gelatinous pink goo. And it just made Mr. Zarqawi's lungs not work so good. The concussive force of the blast just kind of, it was like a balloon blowing up inside. Now, he did manage to hang on to fit for 50 minutes or so, but it was the concussive force of the blast that killed him. And you have to be willing to take the next logical step in statements like that, because you must understand that while we don't count the dead Hajis, yeah, just let that one roll around for a little bit, because you got to understand that's how the young men and women that George Bush have sent over there refer to them, Hajis. The same thing that killed Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, that concussive force, it's the same thing that has killed mothers and daughters and fathers, brothers, sons, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, who never had anything remotely resembling a beef with the United States of America. It's the mighty wind
But I'm going to use a term, and it's not racial, but it is in a way. To me, Joe Biden is TV's House Democrat.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. He's the Democrat they pull out when they want to say, oh, we're being fair, we're having a Democrat on. It's like, yeah, because we know Joe ain't going to say nothing. I mean, you know, nothing worth, nothing's going to get us in any trouble.
No, not Joe. I mean,
the thing of it is like I say, it would be Lieberman, but Lieberman's talked himself into a hole.
He's lost his Joe, madam.
That's what I mean. I see Biden on that same thing. And I tell you what, the other person is that's not a politician, but I tell you what, anytime a TV's on, I see Bob Shrum's face, I change the channel.
Oh, well, yeah. And the thing, you know, the thing with Lieberman is that, even Russert and Matthews and that whole crowd, I mean, they don't want to get kissed.
It's one of those things. It's like say he's talked himself out of the party. I mean, you know, because now he's making all these things saying about he may have to leave the party and run as an independent. We're saying go Joe go.
And
help you pack.
But the funny thing is, if he was to win as an independent, do you realize that those godforsaken Republicans would give him some chairmanship that he just really wanted?
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt it, but we'll see how that goes. But
of course, it's worth remembering a couple months ago when I interviewed the gentleman who had written that marvelous book about the rescuers in the Netherlands during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talked about the people who collaborated against their own. And he said, you know, they got an extra loaf of bread, they got an extra ration of meat. You know, that's what Joe would be doing, and that's basically what Joe is. He's a collaborator.
It's one of those things. I hope and I know they won't, but I hope they just keep. I hope the DNC is feeding him false information, misinformation. Yeah, Joe. Here's what we're gonna do. Just so he can report it back to the Republicans.
Well, it cost us a couple of $1 million or whatever to fly Dear Leader over there, and out of that we get this brilliant oratory, Luke. I've come not only to look you in the eye. I've also come to tell you that when America gives its word, it keeps its word.
Lightning should strike any moment. I saw this thing now where they're going to put a big push on to protect Baghdad. I'm sitting there going, this is Afghanistan now. We're going to have a prime minister who apparently is just the mayor of a city.
Well,
Karzai. You know what I mean? It's like,
no, I do. I mean, it's not in our interest that Iraq succeed. It's in our interest that Iraq succeed. It's not only in the interest of the Iraqi people, it's in the interest of the American people and for people who love freedom.
Well, you do notice, and I've seen a couple of places talked about this, and other liberals talk about it, that isn't it amazing how no one seems to want to mention the fact that, oh, by the way, this fella that we just blew up, he was where we could lay our hands on him for like 2 years, but we just said, no, we don't need to do it. You know, he was up there in the Kurdistan area where we could have just snapped our fingers and had him in a cell.
Well, it's this whole idea of, you know, he's back. He's recycled on the on the old psychosis, and he's back to looking people in the eye.
Yep.
Last time he looked, you know,
like Jack Elam's the problem.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like looking at Marty Feldman and Jack Elam at the same time. This is not a good choice. You know.
Well, you know, he told the troops that he came to look Prime Minister Maliki in the eyes.
Gosh.
To determine, but no, this is the quote, to determine whether or not he is as dedicated to a free Iraq as you are, and I believe he is.
Look down to that soul again, did he?
Yeah, he's a soul peeping again, Luke. I don't know what we're going to do with him.
It's one of those things, I just, you know, sometimes it's like, say, you just want to send him off to, like, Survivor Island. You know, y'all go off there to see who survives, please. We'll drop guns on one side of the island and have some fun.
Yeah, have an elimination challenge. A spelling bee. Who, you know, who can say nuclear correctly the first? God. But you know, I love the writing about this whole thing, Luke. It was described as a. Let me find it here real quick. Yeah.
You were watching the people at NBC.
Oh yeah, it was a whirlwind trip.
Oh.
Last time I saw the word whirlwind used was in regard to a romance.
Either that or a dust devil. But you know what I mean? It's one of these things. It's like if you watch NBC, I've got to figure that they must be getting a whole lot of good money off of this administration. Because Lord, every time you hear them, it's like get your thesaurus out so we can find what the next good word is we can say about him. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if they had some people over there who are actually, what's that word?
Competent?
Objective.
Oh, well, objective. No, that word's out of the dictionary.
Know.
You know, but we've turned so many corners in Iraq that we're running in circles now.
Well, it looks like MC Isher, one of his pictures. Climb up the ladder, you're coming down the ladder.
Yeah, going up the stairs, oops, I'm going down the stairs. That's exact. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, the one, it's the one show I enjoy, we actually get to enjoy on cable. But I tell you what, have you seen this guy they've had substitute for Oberman this week?
No, I haven't.
They've got a substitute while Oberman's been gone. And I tell you what, it's like, guys, couldn't you have found somebody with a personality?
Who is it?
I don't even recognize him. I mean, you know what I mean? He's somebody I have no clue who he is. And I'm just sitting there going, guys, couldn't you have gotten Bill Maher or somebody to set in or Lewis Black?
Well, you know, that the one lady that fills in for him from time to time, I don't find too objectionable. She's pretty good at what she does.
This guy isn't objectionable. It's just that, dear Lord, he reminds you of Fox Mulder. You know what I mean? He's got that kind of personality. It's sort of like 5 minutes into it, you're just ready to nod off. Like,
this is the news, and I'm Joe Friday.
Yeah. Well, Joe Friday at least was interesting sometimes to listen to. But you know what I mean? It's like, guys, if you're going to have somebody substitute, at least have somebody with imagination. I mean, like I say, you know, there's a lot of good people. She'd have Andy Borowitz or somebody sit in.
Yeah, just you know, just to make it interesting.
I mean, just rotate some people around and have some fun with it. This is the one show you've got that actually appears alive. Oh, now, have you seen this thing? Dan Abrams, the new head of MSNBC.
Oh, I know. That I did hear a little bit about.
Well, I'm just curious now, is Rita Cosby already packed?
I figure she's second in command at this point.
Do you know who I finally realized who she reminds me of?
No, who?
All right. Back to the Future movies. Dr. Emmett Brown. Just imagine Christopher Lloyd's voice when he's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back to the Future. Yeah, oh, sure. You know, of course, I'm stuck on Bullwinkle's baby sister.
She just sounds like somebody who's been in a hollering contest for 3 days and came in to do the news. You know?
Tonight's top story.
You know, she just sounds like somebody literally who's just hollered her voice out.
Yeah, I know, but think about it, Luke. Yeah. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull the rabbit out of my... Hey, Rocky, watch me pull Natalie Holloway out of my hat.
That's true. Oh, God. But like I say, I'm just sitting there going, please. Yeah, I know it won't happen, but it's like, please, Mr. Abrams, just clean it off. Say goodbye to Mr. Scarborough. Say goodbye to Rita. Say goodbye to Tucker. Say wave at them as they pass into the...
Yeah, Tucker's just kind of sad.
Well, let's say he took the bow tie off and there went his personality. Yeah.
Well, he started getting blood to his brain.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
No, none of that. I don't know. I worry, Luke, every time Keith Olbermann goes away for a couple of weeks.
They're going to change the locks on him?
Yeah. Well, they finally got him. They finally ran him off, or, you know, he's going to wake up with a horse's head in his bed, or, you know, he's going to come back and say he needs to spend more time with his family or something, and you know, that'll be the...
Oh. He's decided to retire to spend much more time with his family, who he misses terribly. But, God, have you got a chance to watch, just on something else, totally different, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Have you got a chance to watch Mr. Marr's new thing on, was it the gold, the fishbowl?
No, I haven't.
It's over on the website. Whose website?
I got to admit, I'm very TV challenged around here,
well,
Luke.
It's on the web. He's doing a series.
Oh, yeah, I know about that. No, I haven't had a chance to. What with it? Not making excuses, but what
you've been with your problems you've been having.
It's a little crazy around here.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's not much different than his show, except it's just sort of like little 10-minute segments. You know what I mean? Talk to somebody else, and so it's not too bad. It's a nice something to listen to. Like I say, in the vast wasteland,
right,
that we have around here. But Just a quick question, and I haven't seen it up on the website. What's going to be on Sunday nights?
Sunday nights is something that we call our night off.
Oh, okay. That's fine. You deserve it.
It's
been planned or anything? Or?
Ultimately, one of the plans is to have a constant stream up so that some show will be going at all times. And so it'll just be a happy little mix of reruns on Sunday.
Well, that's good. That may be your best of sort of. All your good interviews.
Now, see, I'm honest enough. I won't call it best of. I'll call it what it is. It's a freaking rerun, you know. But no, that's I really do think that's where we're going to try to go because
that's
as
a good place to run like some of the things you've been putting on after Fourth Estate. Some of the some of those interviews like that people it's a little hard sometimes to stay up to 1 a.m.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, sometimes there are nights you know. I'm an old 43-year-old now. I mean, you know, all right.
Young child, be quiet. I'm an old 47-year-old.
Yeah, but, you know, 1 a.m., and I'm like, honey, would you bring me the toothpicks? I got to prop my eyelids.
You know, it is years ago, I used to love to stay up and listen to Bernie Ward, but I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, can't, no. You know, and that's, you know, that's doing it without any help, you know, you still feel like you got a hangover the next morning. It's rough.
Like somebody's rubbed the inside of your eyeballs with sandpaper.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, I'm going to let you go on and see at the top of the hour.
All right, Luke, you have yourself a wonderful evening. Good talking to you. Always is.
See ya.
Bye now. Yeah, this is exciting. And bear in mind, what you see now is not the extent of the Head On Radio Network lineup. There is more coming. We'll add shows and add shows
And eventually we will be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including Sundays. Pretty exciting, isn't it?
We have Agnes strapped to the chair.
Yeah, we'll just strap Agnes to the chair. Oh, brother. But no, I'm so glad you guys can be along to watch this little birth process, because I don't think I've ever been involved in anything that's quite as exciting as this network getting going. So let's take a little break. Top of the hour news coming. Do you like the new news? The Quality News Network? I like the new news. Bruce found that. That's right. And he did a great job. I like working with Bruce.
And John.
And John.
And Peter.
And Joe. And Agnes. See, I try to keep it simple. And oh no, we can't be simple. Dear leader, can't go anywhere without looking in a soul. Gotta get curtains. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is Quality News Network. President Bush made a surprise visit to Iraq today to meet face-to-face with newly named Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, telling him that the U.S. stands with the Iraqis and their new government. Mr. Bush met with the Prime Minister in the heavily fortified Green Zone at a palace once used by Saddam Hussein, which now serves as the U.S. Embassy. The President will visit some U.S. troops in Baghdad before heading back to Washington later today. At least 70,000 coalition forces, mostly Iraqi, are being deployed on the streets of Baghdad to help bring security to the capital city. They'll be enforcing checkpoints as well as an overnight curfew. In Iraqi violence today, 5 car bombs have left 32 dead and dozens more wounded, all in the city of Kirkuk, and all following warnings by Al-Qaeda that vengeance for the death of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in last week's U.S. airstrike. The chief judge in Saddam Hussein's trial has declared an end to hearing defense witnesses and says the prosecution will present its closing argument next week. The U.S. House has approved $94.5 billion in additional funds for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as the rebuilding on the Gulf Coast. The Senate is expected to approve the bill tomorrow, then send it to the White House for the president's signature. A hurricane warning issued for Florida's Gulf Coast has been downgraded to a tropical storm warning, but Alberto is still hitting Florida with heavy rains and winds, and a flood watch is in effect now for parts of Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. White House senior advisor Karl Rove has been told by special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald that he does not expect to charge him in the CIA leak case. An Israeli investigation concludes that the explosion on a Gaza beach that killed 7 people last Friday was caused not by artillery fire from an Israeli Navy gunboat, but by explosives planted there by Palestinian militants. Meanwhile, in Gaza, more violence today. There's been rioting between Hamas and Palestinian forces loyal to President Mahmoud Abbas, who is accusing Israel of engaging in state terrorism. This after 11 people were killed on the Gaza Strip today in an Israeli airstrike on a van that Israel says was carrying militants and rockets. Some red faces at Homeland Security headquarters in Washington, where, to prove a point, a retired New York cop using a fake ID card was able to get past security and enter the building. Western countries at a 35-nation UN meeting in Vienna are pushing for consensus on the need for Iran to freeze uranium enrichment, but diplomats say that most non-aligned countries are preparing to endorse Tehran's right to continue the work. And in another setback for the West, China and Russia announcing they are not prepared to join the U.S. and its European allies in a unified message regarding Tehran.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Producer Price Index, the measure of the prices paid by businesses for finished goods at the wholesale level, rose 0.2% in May after a 0.9% increase in April due to higher energy prices that month. But while the overall PPI showed a slower gain in May, the 12-month rise in the overall reading is now up 4.5%. In what may be the start of New Orleans' development boom, the AFL-CIO plans to invest $1 billion to develop 10,000 affordable homes and a new downtown hotel in the city. Wall Street's top investment bank, Goldman Sachs, is reporting much better than expected second quarter earnings, driven by strong investment banking and trading results. Genotope says the FDA has given fast-track status to its cancer treatment candidate, MyVax. The treatment, which focuses on non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, is a personal cancer vaccine. The treatment is also eligible for a priority review. A Japanese study says a potential DNA vaccine for Alzheimer's has produced promising results in mice, and unlike alternative vaccines in development, which use viruses, it has produced no side effects. The study appears in the National Academy of Sciences journal. Sony Pictures reports that despite being banned in India, China, and Pakistan, The Da Vinci Code has become the studio's best ever overseas release with $453 million in ticket sales. Light sweet crude oil trading down $1.50 at $68.95 a barrel. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 1, NASDAQ is up 2, and the S&P 500 down 2 points. You'll find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
You know, Agnes, we need to add a sound effect for email. Maybe from the Adams family, that whoop, 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 and Morticia's lovely voice.
Mail's in.
Because I've got some email here. I've got some email from Mrs. Regina Ahmad. My name is Mrs. Regina Ahmed, widow to late Mr. Hassan Ahmed, former owner of Petroleum and Gas Company here in Kuwait. I am 68 years old, suffering from longtime cancer of the breast. From all indications, my condition is really deteriorating, and it's quite obvious that I won't live more than 2 months, according to my doctors. This is because the cancer stage has gotten to a very bad stage. I don't want your pity, but I need your trust. My late husband died early last year from heart attack, and during the period of our marriage, we couldn't produce any child. My late husband was very wealthy, and after his death, I inherited all his business and wealth. The doctor has advised me that I will not live for more than 2 months, so I have now decided to spread all my wealth to contribute mainly to the development of charity in Africa, America, Asia, and Europe. Well, that narrows it down. I'm sorry if you are embarrassed by my mail. I found your email address in the web directory, and I have decided to contact you, but if for any reason you find this mail offensive, you can ignore it, and please accept my apology with two P's. Before my late husband died, he was a major oil tycoon in Kuwait and deposited the sum of $25 million, in a company in Europe some years ago. That's all I have left now, just the $25 million. I need you to collect this funds and distribute it yourself to charity, so that when I die, my soul can rest in peace. The funds will be entirely in your hands and management. I hope God gives you the wisdom to touch very many lives. That is my main concern. 20% of this money will be for your time and effort, while 80% goes to charity. God bless you, Mrs. Regina Ahmed. I wish I wasn't so doggone busy. I'd love to help her out. See, it's how she, you know, I'm hoping she's still around, because she sent me the same note more than 2 months ago when she was dying of breast cancer and going to be gone in 2 months. But back then, her stage had gotten to a very bad stage, too. And, of course, the other thing that I want. I have decided to contact you, but let's see.
She wants your babies.
No. The line about, where was it? I found your email address in the web directory. Can somebody get me one of these web directories? I didn't know. Is Verizon putting it out? Is it Bell South, AT&T? My God, the World Wide Web Directory. This thing's got to be like at least five times as tall as the New York City phone book. I found your name in the web directory. This kind of reminds me of the fact that, you know, my name was, you know, and for all I know, she did, because my name also showed up on the felon no vote list in Florida from Catherine Harris. Jesus.
Is there something I should know?
No, dear, really, there's not. I mean, it's just the kind of luck I had when I was a teenager and flew to Europe on spring break and came back. I got queried extensively by customs wanting to know if I had ever had anything to do with Summit Laboratories. 15 years old, jet-lagged out of my mind. 2 weeks in Italy, two fabulous weeks and wonderful weeks, beautiful weeks in Italy. And I am such an ugly American. I wanted a quarter pounder really badly. And that's all I wanted. I just, no, Summit, what do they do at Summit Laboratories? Nothing you need to know about, boy. You sure you're not them? Guys. So that was then, and this is now, and Mrs. Regina Ahmed wants to give me many millions of dollars.
She wants your sperm.
She's $25 million, and it's all I have now to live on for these 2 months during which my cancer stage has got to a bad stage. I'm sorry. I know you guys probably get these things in your email every couple of hours, but I think it was while we were doctoring down in Alabama that I was sitting in the waiting room while my father was having an echocardiogram and reading a Reader's Digest. You know, there's always a 6-year-old Reader's Digest in a doctor's office. I think you have to have a 6-year-old Reader's Digest in the waiting room in order to maintain your medical license. And there's this story about the guy who got the email from Mrs. Regina Ahmed, or her cousin, or her uncle, the Nigerian oil tycoon. And the guy, ships come in. Really. And it details how he got, mortgages the house, gets the briefcase full of money, flies off to South Africa. And says goodbye to the, and they didn't give me $10 million like they promised. They said the money that I was bringing was for processing fees, but they never give me the $10 million. If you were with us last night, you'll know that this dude shops for Fendi purses at Sam's Club. There's so, you know, I've mentioned before that the W.C. Fields is my favorite philosopher. I mean, if they can ask Dear Leader, you know, who's your favorite philosopher? And, Jesus Christ! They don't, you know, they didn't realize that he wasn't answering that his favorite philosopher was Jesus Christ. That was an exclamation. What the? Jesus Christ! Oh, okay, Mr. Christ. No. So my favorite philosopher can be W.C. Fields. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. These, you know, Mrs. Ahmed's email probably went out at the time that I received it. Went out to, God knows, a million people. And the thing is, all you've got to do is score with one. Just one sucker, one desperate soul who thinks that if one thing just happens, if I can just get the one break, it's all going to change. And it does. It makes me kind of, I mean, I laugh because we were not able to have child. On Fridays, we had goat.
but we were not able to have child. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. I got to stop that. Do they send these emails? And this, I guess this is the central issue of the question. Do they send these emails to other countries in other languages? Or are they just trolling America because only in America do we still believe that miracles happen, that the Mr. and Mrs. Ahmeds are out there just, you know, I got your name from the web directory.
That's a free lunch.
You know, Tanstoffel, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Is it just us? Are we the, you know, we were gullible enough to believe that Saddam had trailers hidden behind palm trees. You see them balloons? Those are WMD balloons. Are we the only people in America that are that stupid? Are we the only people in the world that are that stupid? I mean, does Mrs. Ahmed's mail go to Japanese email accounts? Does Mrs. Ahmed's touching and heartrending story of 80% is for charity, 20% is for your time? Are there people in Germany, in France, that are gullible enough to get hooked? I don't know. I've gotten such a jaundiced view of us. You know, because after all, my retirement plan is the lottery. And you know, I don't have enough faith to like go to Fundy Church or anything, but I am just abjectly silly enough to walk in twice a week and plunk down that buck and a quarter, $2, whatever, and yeah, make the Powerball 12, because you know I just flashed on it. I always play whatever Powerball the day of the month it is. I got a system. But, you know, isn't that the same thing as thinking that Mrs. Ahmed really does have $25 million for you? Well, maybe this letter from Mrs. Ahmed is real. You get my meaning. All right, enough of that. Let's take a break. When we come back, some real news. I wish I hadn't gotten Mrs. Ahmed's mail during the break. Golly Moses. No, by real news, what do I mean? Oh, headline from former President Clinton. You know, it wasn't just Hillary. John Kerry addressed Taking Back America conference today. Darned impressive man when he's not running for president. All of that's coming up. Your phone calls are coming up, too, by the way. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Feel it coming till you wake up on your own. I wonder where you are, you can find your fault. Wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so I don't say another day is over, another light is breaking, and I'm tired, but I'm wild about you, my little one. I feel you in the water, I feel you in the corner of my cell, babe. Who else, babe, knows you like I do? As we go again round the stars and their friends loving me.
Now is the time to join together to protect our world, or we could lose all it gives us. To learn how you can help, call for your free World Wildlife Fund Action Kit at 1-800-CALLWWF. Together, we can be a force for nature.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
All right, 22 minutes, or almost 22 minutes past the hour on this oddly extended little edition of Head On. This is coming up on an hour and a half now. It'll be kind of interesting to get back to the regular schedule. Of course, as you know, Bruce Birch's new program will not go 5 to 8 all the time. It'll go 5 to 7, and then I'll be back to 7 to 10 because I'm easily confused. But Bruce is on his way back home to Greensboro, and he will be in his remote undisclosed location. Well, I guess it's not as remote when you're in Greensboro, but he'll be firing it up tomorrow night and every night from 5 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. Eastern. And I hope you can make that part of your Head On Radio Network experience. I want to go back just a moment to a quote from Dan Bartlett, you know, presidential counselor Dan Bartlett. He used to be White House communications director Dan Bartlett. Now he's presidential advisor, counselor Dan Bartlett. And he was talking about putting together the plan, what Luke called the rubber turkey trip to Baghdad for Dear Leader. And why does everything that George Bush does sound like a date? Bartlett told reporters aboard Air Force One that Bush had wanted to come to Iraq as soon as all positions in al-Maliki's government were chosen. By meeting face-to-face, Bush and al-Maliki, according to Bartlett, would be able to, and this is a quote, oh, Lord, this is a quote, they would be able to establish a closer relationship than you can just over a telephone. Everything this guy does sounds like a date. I mean, it's do you watch the late night commercials, you know, on your way to bed or whatever, and you're just flipping, and call me 1-800-SEXY-LEGS. It's better on the telephone. By meeting face-to-face, Bush and al-Maliki would be able to establish a closer relationship than you can just over a telephone. Now, again, you got to go beyond the statement. You got to go beyond Bartlett's comment there, because that sort of presupposes this telephone relationship. Hey, I'm George W., and I'm 6'6" tall and 240 pounds, and I'm buff and tan. I mean, it does. It's like a personal ad or something. Bartlett declined to say whether Bush and al-Maliki were to discuss the withdrawal of any U.S. troops. And that, you know, they wanted establish a closer relationship than you can have just over a telephone, but not close enough to tell him before he gets there. U.S. officials told al-Maliki of Bush's arrival in Baghdad only after the president's Nighthawk helicopter had landed in the former Green Zone following a 6-minute trip from Baghdad International Airport. Well, I guess they went in the Nighthawk helicopter because they, well, you've seen all the stories about speeding automobiles just being shot to pieces. Bartlett said the secrecy of the trip was necessary because of Iraq's tenuous security situation. That's fancy language for George Bush is scared enough as it is. He didn't want any of those fancy Iraqi welcoming parades. Presidential counselor Dan Bartlett said the trip. And the only people who knew about it were a very close circle of people. Everything about George Bush just has sort of a kinky ring to it, doesn't it? A very close circle of people. Be able to establish a closer relationship than you can just over a telephone. Hey, al-Maliki, what are you doing? I'm just sitting here. It's kind of quiet around here now that Laura's moved out to the hotel over to the Mayflower. Took her maid with her and she ain't sitting around here drinking margaritas in the house no more and getting after me, so I had a chance to call you and I wanted to. I sure do wish we could have a relationship that was better than this here telephone relationship. Long-distance relationships are just hell, aren't they? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I look at this stuff and it's just so squirrely. Well, look, okay. You know, a little peep into Bob's mind, because this is where my mind works, and time travel 40 years or so, you know, 46 years or so. Bartlett declined to say whether John Kennedy and al-Maliki were to discuss the withdrawal of any U.S. troops. By meeting face-to-face, Kennedy and al-Maliki would be able to establish a closer relationship than you can just over a telephone, Pierre Salinger said. Can you imagine that line being written about John Kennedy, LBJ? No, if it's written about LBJ, it's, you know, he arrived in Baghdad and picked up al-Maliki by his ears. But honest to God. Yeah, the next thing, I mean, this is the same guy who walks through the Bluebells holding hands with the Sheik. Somebody has a fetish, I think, and it's not being hidden very well. We're going to take a break. Jump right in if you want to. 877-443-2366 is the phone number. 877-4-HEAD-ON. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a nail in the door, and it's glass on the lawn. Tacks on the floor, and the TV's on. They'll always sleep with my guns when you're gone. There's a blade by the bed.
Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Remember, I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution,
okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. blogspot.com. That's CUPOJOE.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
All right, 27 minutes and change. No, 25 minutes and change before the hour. Got to do the reverse math with the digital clock. You know, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network, of course, America's other liberal network. You know, the place where conversation is king, where conversation is the order of the day. And I truly do mean that, and as does Bruce Birch, as does John Fox, Joe Vecchio. You know, because after all, as we noted earlier today, earlier in the program, there's that that line from Hillary about how we've got to have a difficult conversation with people who might not necessarily want to vote for Democrats. And part of that, I guess part of that difficult conversation is explaining why certain leadership Democrats were for the war before they were against it, or against it before they were for it, or something, but whatever. Yeah, so Hillary did her thing there at Taking Back America today, as did John Kerry. And John Kerry at least showed up and said what I would have expected him to say to a room full of dedicated progressives. He called his vote to authorize the war in Iraq and the entire mission, quote, a mistake. Now this article is from the Christian News Service News. He said, we were misled, we were given evidence that was not true, it was wrong, and I was wrong to vote for it. You'll forgive me if I get a little misty-eyed. And I do realize, for those of you for whom black box voting, Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia, all those crappy little machines, for those of you for whom that is issue one, and I'm not criticizing that, we need a hardcore core of people out there making all the noise that can possibly be made about these stinking stupid machines. I realize that you most likely believe, as I now do, that just as Florida was used to steal the presidency from Al Gore in 2000, Ohio was John Kerry's bete noire in 2004, and by all rights, he should be. You know, there's two terms of the presidency that are going to show up on that calendar you get from the funeral home every year. It's going to have George Bush's ugly little beady-eyed mug in it, two times, where it should be Al Gore and or John Kerry. Because the elections were stolen. You know, 100 years from now, the historians will say, well, of course they were stolen. This was one of the dirtiest times in American politics when morals and ethics couldn't quite keep pace with filthy politics, lots of money, and technology that was beyond the ken of most people to comprehend the damage that could come from it. But still, I get a little misty-eyed when I read things from John Kerry, like, we were misled, we were given evidence that was not true, it was wrong, and I was wrong to vote for it. Because had it not been for the Bob Shrums and the Mary Beth Cahills and the well-paid Democratic consultants out there who get paid to, you know, it's like, you know, there are NFL coaches out there. If you're a football fan, who keep getting jobs coaching franchises, and you know that they're going to lose everywhere they go. Maybe I'll get jumped on for this. Dave Wannstedt comes to mind. Oh, he's a genius. He's a genius. Oh, he just hadn't had the right combination of talent yet. But Lord God, Billy Bob, he's going to win. He never does. But he still gets the check, and that's Democratic consultants on the upper level, because I'm sure that some consultant told John Kerry that he was, by God, not allowed to say outright that the war was a mistake and that the war was a lie. Oh, he's not American at all, you know, because the swift boats would be even swifter and even meaner and even sleazier. Of course, they didn't have to be that sleazy, because John Kerry was windsurfing while they were swift boating him. Now, of course, there's the picture of him in the little sperm suit when he visited NASA, with his little suited head popping out of. You've seen the picture, Agnes. Amazing. Almost as good as that picture of Michael Dukakis in a tank. His little prairie dog head poking up out of the turret. Sort of looking around. But he showed up today. And he said, the true pessimists are those who will not accept that America's strength depends on our... Wait a minute, let's do this right. The true pessimists are those who will not accept that America's strength depends on our credibility at home and around the world. The true pessimists are those who do not understand that valuing our principles is critical to our national security, and it is as critical to our national security as our military power itself. Jesus, I'm about to put myself to sleep. Bueller. He said, questioning the war and fighting it are two sides of the very same patriotic coin. I'll buy that. Compared the modern anti-war movement to the anti-war movement in the Vietnam War. He said, opposing the war is a right and an obligation because it was founded on a lie and can never be true to America's character. That's what he said about Vietnam. Renewed his call for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. But he also said that he supports setting a timetable for the removal of troops from Iraq, and that does not constitute cutting and running. So on the one hand, you've got triangulating Hillary, saying that she thinks that George Bush's open-ended stay-in-Iraq-forever plan is wrong, and yet it would be bad to set a timetable or set a date. Wow, that just makes my head hurt. And you got John Kerry on the other hand saying it's time to get him home. Newsflash. They both think they can be president in 2008, and I wouldn't go across the street to vote for either one of them. At least not in a primary. In either case, you know, if, you know, pick your Republican nominee, Giuliani, McCain. That's a wing of a loony bin to start with right there. Condi. Who were some of that? Arnold. Judge Roy Moore. Senator George Allen of Virginia. There's a hopeful. Nope, nobody in that list that I would that I would vote for over Hillary or John. But I got to tell you, neither one of them inspires me to go out and put up a yard sign, or a sticker on the back of my vehicle, or knock on doors, or explain to them how important it is for America that we. No, neither one. Sorry. But, I mean, those are two radically, radically different speeches, aren't they? On the one hand, saying, I voted based on a bunch of hooey and lies. And on the other hand, Hillary saying, it's okay. We can have a war. Hillary scares me a little bit. No, she does. She... And frankly, it's not so much what she said today that scares me. I think that's just loony. I mean, she ripped off, she did. I mean, I said it. She ripped off John McCain's Jerry Falwell University commencement speech. Oh, that's a hard conversation. But it's that statement to the Chamber of Commerce a couple of weeks ago where she said that the laziest people on earth are 20 somethings. Yeah, court that youth vote there, Hillary, because, well, yeah, is there anything, and I know we've got some folks in the audience who are of that generation, idealistic, going to change the world, make it all better, make it all different, make love, not war. What happened? I mean, I have regular communications with people who still maintain that attitude. But what happened to the rest of them? I mean, what happened to Hillary? What happened to Kerry? Is power more fun than principle? What happened to her? I mean, we're talking about people who worked for McGovern. We're talking about people who worked for progressive causes. What makes somebody come out in front of a group and say, oh, you know, the 20-year-olds, they're lazy. All the time out there playing their fancy newfangled Xbox station? Huh. In my days, we didn't sit around playing fancy Xbox stations. We worked. From sun up to sundown, and we walked to work uphill both ways. We ate mustard sandwiches. I mean, maybe I'm still young enough it hasn't happened. Does the soul just kind of dry up like an old peach on the tree?
She's having mommy issues with Chelsea.
Mommy issues. Let me give up. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Enjoyed all your comments, and just a very little thought about about Hillary Clinton, Joe Lieberman, and Ann Coulter. You could put them in a line, and it wouldn't make no difference where you put them. They would all be about the same. I listened to Ann Coulter's rhetoric last night some of it about the women, the wives. You probably heard it too.
Oh, yeah.
And people that support the war and like that, they are not, they're not too far out of step with and you know, I know that people make fun of us for calling one another idiots, but Ann Coulter is the height of ignorance. She is, you're talking about a monopoly. She's got it covered coming and going. And you put, you can put Joe Lieberman and Hillary Clinton just a little bit behind them. And that's all I had to say about it. I agree with you. I used to think, well, if Hillary gets in there, Bill Clinton will be in the back room help running it. But that's been made perfectly clear that he's out of it. And that hurts worse than her winning and not having anybody behind her.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know. You don't get, it's not a twofer. You don't get the secret Bill Clinton presidency because she's a very willful and powerful individual in her own regard. And I'm not a Hillary hater, okay? I'm disappointed in her.
Yeah, well, I just really don't. I just don't like her. I don't. Carrie's not the strength that I saw. I don't know if I had to pick out all of them. Like I said last night, the Democrats are not too far out of step with what the Republicans are, a bunch of suck butts. But I guess we're going to have to pick somebody sometime, and I don't know where the dark horse is, if there is one even. But I just wanted to comment on your show on what I think of Hillary Clinton, too. And that would be the only, her being the nominee, the only one running on a Democratic ticket would be the only way, and it would hurt me to hunker down and vote for somebody of her, because I detest that war so bad that anybody that tries to make other people compromise and let's meet them in the middle, yet those people are not in the middle. There's not any middle for them. They have got a made-up mind, and their feet are in concrete. And there's no use for us trying to talk those people or show them. I mean, it shows on the radio shows that's on the talk shows.
Yeah.
There, you know, when you got 60-some percent of the people that are against George Bush for one reason or another, and mostly 55% of it, I think, if I'm not mistaken on the number, is over the war, and you still got people out there running around. I'd follow him if he jumped over a bridge, you know.
And that's the thing. The question, it's always an approval poll question, Ed. And I'd like to see a different question asked. The question I would like to see asked in a poll is, if you had it to do over, would you still vote for George Bush?
Well, you may disagree with me on this, and I figure you will. But people that do turn around, I have just much forgiveness as I have animosity toward people. And it's like Lou Dobbs. When he was what he was for Bush, he was just another despicable Republican. But now, at least he's turned around and is not for the things they are. In fact, a lot of them. In fact, I'll tell you, one of them, my daughter. I mean, I could have busted her windshield out with a glass for having a Bush sign on it. But instead, the minute that they were qualified for a lot of benefits, like CHIP programs and stuff, and when she started crying about it, losing them, I said, well, you need to call George Bush. He'll help you. He'll personally help you. You have my word on it. Oh, she was furious. But you know what? I can forgive her because this time she asked me for a slate. She realized that I knew what I was talking about in politics, and she called me and asked me to show me who to vote for.
Well, bless her heart. I mean, it's the beginning of wisdom, I guess, Ed. But the reason I'd like my personal guess is these people who say, well, I disapprove of George Bush, you know, 70% of America or whatever, and most of it is over the war, like you say. I think if you asked Republican voters, do you regret your Bush vote? If you had it to do over again, would you still vote for Bush? I think most of them, Ed, would say, darn right. He just had a bad run of luck.
Yeah. Well, look at this so-called run of luck he's had this week. You know, Karl Rove and the terrorist over there. I can't ever remember his name. But anyway, three pretty good things has happened, but it ain't because of his maneuverability or his ability in any way. It's just things that happen, and they make look like Camp David is going to solve all the problems. They act like Zakali getting him is going to cure the problems. You know, the hornet's nest just stirred up more. That's all that's done. They're not going to quit. We're in a world of trouble in that country, in those countries over there. And I think I mentioned before, if we mess around with Iran too much, there's just a lot more room for insurgents. You know, there'll be more insurgents coming in from there. So anything we do over there, because those people do not. And I repeat, for some of the people that might think that those people have anything for us, they do not have any use or respect for our lifestyle or nothing about us. And we don't have nothing to offer.
You know, at least the Iranian kids want the blue jeans. We've screwed up Iraq so bad that blue jeans are on the verge of being illegal. I mean, do you get my meaning? There are aspects of American culture that youth culture, and we got to remember, Ed, that most of the Arab nations have populations where 50% or more is under 25 years old.
Uh-huh.
And they do, you know, they see American culture and they see American videos and they see American fashion and they want some American blue jeans. Don't need to tell them there's no such thing as American blue jeans anymore. But they want all of that. But we have poisoned the well so thoroughly in Iraq. I had a story a couple of nights ago about a female doctor, a physician, a healer, who was slaughtered by religious fundamentalists down in the zone controlled by the British down around Basra, because she went out and doctored people. Because, you know, in that weird fundamentalism, nope, sorry, you can't be a doctor, lady. There are women in Iraq who are being held down and having their heads shaved because they dare to go outside without the hijab, the headscarf.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say it, but we got barbarians here in this country, too. A lot of them in Washington. And the main problem with those countries over there is us. And a lot of people, oh, yeah, it's our fault. You know, it definitely is that we're there on a lie. Anything that happens wrong is our fault because we're there. If we wasn't there, part of that stuff wouldn't happen. And I've heard you say it, that was a sovereign country. They weren't going to attack us. And so why are we over there with the killing going on? And I'm telling you the truth, I don't see anything but increase unless they do bomb Iran to smithereens. Then we're going to create another situation for insurgency, even if it's through sanctions. You know, they're not going to sit back and take it.
No, and while we're pretty much out of time, Ed, but while we're talking about all this, I ran across another story today that's worth paying attention to. While we're sitting here fretting about a country that might someday, somehow, but not anytime soon, get a nuclear weapon, how you like this for a headline, Ed? North Korea preparing for possible long-range missile test.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that yesterday in the news. And they even elaborated more on that, one that could reach the United States.
Yep.
So, yeah, okay, well, Bob, I know you're, you said you're out of time, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate, again, what you're doing, and I'll talk to you soon.
Well, Ed, you have yourself a wonderful evening, and thank you so much for everything you bring to the show, because you do bring a lot.
All right, well, thank you for having me.
All right, take care.
All righty.
Bye now.
Bye.
So we're on top of the hour. Let's if you want to, talk about that a little bit in the next hour. Yeah, it's like an intercontinental ballistic scud that they can put a nuke on top of. I got a better chance of being hit by a car going out trying to get into traffic out here than I do of being hit by one of Kim Jong-whack's scuds. But, you know, the point... You know, I refuse to be turned into a fear freak. But the point is, they're not watching the ball. You know, while George Bush is trying to have a more meaningful relationship with al-Maliki, they're going to test a missile they can put a nuclear warhead on top of. That's just charming. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war. But it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26.
26.
In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
This is Quality News Network. In a surprise move, President Bush flew to Iraq overnight, arriving this morning for face-to-face meetings with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who was notified just 5 minutes before Mr. Bush's arrival. The president had been scheduled to conduct those meetings from Camp David over a video teleconference hookup. Coinciding with the president's trip to Baghdad, Iraq has formally notified the U.N. Security Council that it wants the U.S.-led multinational force to remain in place for now because Iraqi troops and police are not yet ready to ensure security on their own. A resolution adopted by the Security Council to extend the force's mandate through the end of this year is scheduled to be reviewed next week. At least 70,000 coalition forces, most of them Iraqi, are being deployed on the streets of Baghdad in a massive effort to bring security to the Iraqi capital. They'll be enforcing checkpoints as well as an overnight curfew and will be wearing new uniforms to distinguish them from insurgents who wear fake uniforms and carry out attacks. More violence in Iraq today, a series of suicide attacks that left 32 people dead and dozens more wounded in Kirkuk. The explosions targeting police commandos, police stations, and patrols, as well as a busy food market. Tropical storm Alberto made landfall today in northwest Florida, bringing with it heavy rains and winds and some coastal flooding, but less damage than had been expected. There is word today that presidential adviser Karl Rove will not be charged by special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald in connection with the CIA leak case. An Israeli investigation concludes that the explosion on a Gaza beach that killed 7 people last Friday was caused by explosives planted there by Palestinian militants, not artillery fire from an Israeli Navy gunboat. In Gaza today, 11 people were killed, 9 of them civilians, in an Israeli missile strike on a van that Israel claims was carrying militants and rockets in Gaza. It's the deadliest such attack in nearly 4 years. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas calls it state terrorism. The United States today recognized the independence of Montenegro, helping cement the international community's acceptance of a referendum last month in favor of its breakaway from a union with Serbia. Diplomats in Vienna report that non-aligned states will back Iran's right to nuclear fuel production at a UN meeting this week, unmoved by U.S. calls to join efforts to get Tehran to stop enriching uranium. The U.S. government today reasserted its right to develop weapons for use in outer space to protect its military and commercial satellites and ruled out any global negotiations on a new treaty to limit them, as is being urged by China and Russia. And the European Union plans to use a summit with Mr. Bush next week to press for the closure of Guantanamo Bay detention camp.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Inflation at the wholesale level slowed in May after two big months of increases, even though gas prices and inflation pressures outside of energy and food continued to climb. The government's producer price index was up just 0.2% last month, better than economists had been expecting. However, the 12-month rise in the overall reading is now up 4.5%. A U.S. consumer group is suing the owner of the KFC chain, trying to force it to stop using trans fat and switch to a healthier cooking oil, or else to prominently warn consumers about the health hazard. Researchers report that drinking coffee cuts the risk of cirrhosis of the liver from alcohol by 22% per cup each day, but they stop short of saying doctors should prescribe coffee for that reason. The report from California's Kaiser Permanente Medical Care Program was based on data from over 125,000 people. Price of gas is on the rise again, up nearly a cent and a half a gallon last week. It's up 78 cents a gallon from a year ago. A new manpower survey shows that employers expect no significant changes in their rates of hiring for the next 3 months, but construction employment is edging down slightly. And a new U.S. law to deter Americans' consumers from seeking bankruptcy protection made filings plunge to a 20-year low the first quarter of this year, but there's been a rapid rise in new cases ever since. Light sweet crude oil is trading down at $68.45 a barrel this hour. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 9 points, NASDAQ is down 2, and the S&P 500 is off by 3. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. Two straight nights. Broadcasting in an hour where I've not gone before. 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hope you can stick around until for this final hour tonight. Tomorrow night, of course, we do go back to normal. We go back to 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. But I really have to do a better job of presenting the Head On Radio Network as a cohesive, organic whole. That's whole with a W. Beginning with Guy James and going through our dear friend Bruce Birch and then on into this program itself. The granddaddy, if you will. I'm an egomaniac. No. North Korea preparing possible long-range missile test. And the thing, you know, we're so far down the rabbit hole, so far through the looking glass, I don't know who the hell to believe anymore. North Korea appears to be preparing for the, you know, this is over at CNN. North Korea appears to be preparing for a test of an intercontinental ballistic missile that could have the potential to... Well, there's enough speculation in there to start a market frenzy. Appears to be preparing for a test of an intercontinental ballistic missile that could have the potential to hit the United States, U.S., and South Korean officials said Tuesday. They also said the test preparations seem fairly advanced for a North Korean launch of a Taepodong 2 missile. Agnes, dear, you're a pervert.
I am not.
All I said was Taepodong 2. Which can be used as a two- or three-stage integrated missile. The three-stage version contains a solid-fuel booster rocket strapped. Oh, dear. The Taepodong 2 missile is strapped atop a Scud missile and could reach the United States. How does this happen to us, dear? I'm going to make a perfectly legitimate point about not knowing who to believe because it's all full of appears to be and might be and seems and possibly, and I get to Taepodong 2 and strapped and everything just comes unglued.
Oh, that's sad. That's really sad.
One senior U.S. We're just going to pretend none of that happened. One senior U.S. official said North Korea is doing everything you would expect if you are going to launch a missile. What is that? They went out and bought. They bought matches. You know how it's a command economy. They can't feed their people. Do you know how hard it is to find matches in North Korea? Silly, 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 silly. Some U.S. officials, which presuppose, but not other U.S. officials. Jeez. Said North Korean leader Kim Jong-il could be bluffing to gain leverage in stalled six-party talks over ending the North Korean nuclear standoff. This stuff just makes my head... It's like something out of The Exorcist. Well, he could be bluffing. Now, does that mean if they actually send up the Taepodong 2 missile with the integrated strapped Scud, does that mean that he's not bluffing? Or does it mean that he's still bluffing? I mean, I'm a news junkie. I am an information fiend. I am a freak for following what's going on in the world, and I really... It gets under my skin when this kind of crap is passed off as journalism. Is there any news in there? I mean, apparently, there's a missile. And the test preparation. But do you see what's going... Do you remember after the Shuttle Challenger disaster when they had all the tests of the boosters out at Morton Thiokol's facility in Utah, and the thing was just laying there strapped, I did it again, strapped to the ground, and they'd light it up and it'd go, and you'd see the fire coming out of the back of it and rattle and rumble and make a lot of noise. Well, that's a missile test. And this is just so devoid of real information. They're going to test one. Well, what are they going to test? How are they going to test it? Are they going to launch it into the Sea of Japan on purpose? Like their other tests? Oh, dear leader Kim Jong-il, he can shoot that missile and he can hit the ocean! Oh, he's a talented dear leader, that dear leader. The best there is. But again, it's fear-mongering, you see. It's this, because this is supposed to scare those bedwetting commie liberals in California and Oregon and Washington and those leave-me-the-hell-alone free spirits in Alaska.
They're testing a missile. Jesus, they're testing it. And they've made fairly advanced preparations. There's no news in this news.
I mean, and I'm as guilty as anybody, or as susceptible or whatever. I saw the headline, North Korea preparing for possible long-range missile test, and I just glanced at it and went, well, damn. But there's nothing there to, they say long-range missile, and therefore you think, wow, they're going to shoot one at the United States and see if it makes it halfway. No, there's not. That's not in the story. What's in the story is a bunch of guessing, and the occasional and a little sort of by the way slander of dear leader Kim Jong Il as opposed to our dear leader, who apparently feels like he's got to have some sort of a bargaining chip because there's a six way game of Pyongyang Hold'em, and what, the flop's coming or the river card or something. And he's going to launch a missile to... What? $1 million. Mm-hmm. And then... Oh, well. We got a break coming, but... Karl Rove, who is telling everybody he has gotten away with it. And again, because our journalistic skills in the mainstream media are just so well advanced, everybody just jumps out there, oh, wow, Karl Rove, he's not going to be indicted. Wow. Let's talk about that, too, maybe, when we come back. It's coming up on 15 minutes after the hour. What you're listening to is the Head On Radio Network. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Traffic. All this traffic. When will it end? Doesn't it seem like there are more cars on the road every day?
As our population continues to grow, our daily commute isn't the only thing changing. Rapid population growth around the world threatens our quality of life in other ways. It endangers the environment, economic development, even the future health of our children. U.S. support for voluntary family planning programs worldwide improves everyone's quality of life and helps slow population growth. Find out how you can help increase support for these crucial programs. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together, we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Nickelodeon has kids. Talk to their parents about,
you know,
no way.
Boy and girl stuff.
A girl in my school, in elementary school, had told me about it, but she told me the wrong thing. She told me something totally wrong. And when I asked my mom, I didn't know how she was going to react to the question. But then I figured it'd be better to ask her and get the right information. So I went out and I got my books and I brought pictures and I explained, this is what really happened. I was shocked when my mom told me the truth, which was totally different from what she said. So that's how I kind of handled it. I realized that she was a little bit uncomfortable. Her top lip gets really skinny. It's like this. Sometimes I can feel my lip getting skinny because she's brought it to my attention before I didn't realize, and now I can feel it happening, and I'm kind of afraid.
But it doesn't work.
Talk together.
A part of the big help.
For more information, go to nick.com.
Help me a lot.
Oh, Agnes. Agnes, do you realize that utterly not meaning to, that if we were on terrestrial radio, we couldn't do what we just did? Not that.
I was wiping my nose.
No, I'm talking with the Korean missile thing and how that just all went wrong. Because last week, the Congress raised the fines to $325,000 for indecency, and George Bush signed the bill and said he was protected, he was strengthening families.
It's totally on perception. If you think dirty, then you'll be dirty. I mean, there wasn't anything bad about that.
There doesn't have to be, because L. Brent Bozo III and his weird little religion industry freakazoids with far dirtier minds than you and I will ever have convinced the Congress to raise the fines from $32,500 per indecency, which I ain't got anyway, to $325,000 a pop. Jeepers. Let's go talk to Gene from Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Oh, my. Do I dare say what I'm going to do? Oh, well, what the heck? I was going to say, I wouldn't worry about us on the West Coast. We have our own thing of straps. I'm sure many of them are indeed intercontinental.
Yeah, they came from Japan.
Something, right? Well, somewhere. Anyway, about the typo dong, too.
I know. See, it's just that you can't get around it, can you?
No. They've been talking about that since Bush started office. As a matter of fact, I remember a call from my mother that said, will you please store 3 days of water in your closet so that you get attacked, you have fresh water for 3 days. So this is not a joke.
No, but yeah, well, see, I remember, what was it, March of 2001, when he dredged up that stupid old Star Wars thing again that we'd already spent a few billion dollars on, and it took Bill Clinton to stop the money hemorrhage on it. And we got and it was because he was afraid that he was trying to scare us all into believing that the North Koreans were going to nuke Anchorage.
Oh yeah, oh, it's just too much. So no, that's about all I really wanted to say. Don't worry about us on the West Coast. We got plenty of our own strap-ons.
Thanks, Gene.
Okay.
Later.
Bye-bye.
We're a serious bunch around here. Sometimes we got to have a little fun. But isn't that disgusting? I mean, did that just slip by? I'm sure Mike or Randy or somebody or Guy or John or Bruce must have talked about the indecency bill getting passed, but I missed the signing statement. I missed the part where Dear Leader said, "I'm signing this bill today because it strengthens families." Really? And I know I always make the same analogy: guilty, 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 guilty. What strengthens families is when you fine coal companies for killing coal miners. Not when you fine CBS Viacom for showing Janet Jackson's sad, pathetic cry for help during the Super Bowl. But, that's just me. No, I mentioned Karl Rove. Now, what was it, 8 o'clock this morning? That I started seeing things. Oh, I see things all the time. Now, 8 o'clock this morning, and I started seeing things about how the Karl Rove is going to get off scot free, and all this is based on a naked. Here I go again, a bald faced. All this is based on a pure assertion by Karl Rove's lawyer, Mr. Lufkin, who said he'd gotten a letter from Patrick Fitzgerald saying that Karl Rove would not be indicted. Now, I quit doing my active searching for news thing when the show starts, pretty much, unless something really hot comes across the wires. You're just pathetic, Agnes. Has the letter been? Has anybody seen the letter yet? The letter that Lufkin says that he got, saying that did Patrick Fitzgerald come out and say, "Oh yeah, I sure did. I sent him a letter." Because if that is in fact the case, I really did sort of miss it. All I've heard is this assertion by Lufkin that the Fitzgerald said he wasn't going to do it. Meanwhile, Jason Leopold over at Truthout, who I said all along had probably been the victim of a Karl Rove hoodoo job, went on the air with Big Eddie. Big Eddie? Ah, you're just passing the hat, Big Eddie. Yeah, you're soliciting donations, that Big Eddie. Big Eddie Schultz, Jason Leopold went on the air with him today and said he stood by his story and stood by his source who told him that Karl Rove, the indictment had been prepared and Karl Rove was going to be indicted.
Well, you have a question. Would it be legal for Lufkin to lie about that?
Sure. Robert Lufkin, yeah. I mean, the question from chat, would it be legal for Lufkin to lie about that? Absolutely. A, he's not in a courtroom. B, he's not under oath. And see, that could be strategery. The other thing, though, that would be possible, that may have been what caught Jason Leopold, and I'm speculating here. This is as bad as the North Korea story, the way I'm speculating. The other thing that's possible is that in the course of all this stuff, somebody on Patrick Fitzgerald's staff drafted a draft indictment. Fitzgerald says, look, get an indictment together. Let's see what it looks like. Let's offer it to the grand jury. See, run it up the flagpole. See if anybody salutes. Now, bear in mind, a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich because it's a one-sided proceeding. The defense is not really presented, except to the extent that Karl Rove was allowed to go before the grand jury something on the order of five times. So I think it's possible that Leopold could have gotten burned in that his source perhaps, and this is assuming that it wasn't a rogue hoodoo job, his source had seen the draft indictment and assumed that it was going to be true billed by the grand jury, and you know, next thing you know, you get Carl making the perp walk. In which case, it would be an innocent mistake if there's anything innocent at all going on in Washington, D.C. Or it could be that Lufkin, because we all know how badly Karl Rove hates anyone who opposes Dear Leader. It could be that, and he's a past master at this stuff. It could be that the disinformation was directly channeled to discredit Jason Leopold. God knows it wouldn't be the first journalist investigating something slippery, sleazy, slimy, and creepy coming out of the Bush administration who got led down the garden path by Carl. What's his name? Hatfield? Found dead in an Arkansas motel room? Oh, he was depressed and his cuticles were badly severed. Just after he got done getting hoodooed over the George Bush cocaine story that he included in Fortunate Son. Sure. So I see two alternatives there. One being an innocent, relatively innocent mistake based upon a drafted but unpassed indictment. Or the other just being an outright screw job perpetrated against Jason Leopold for the sheer blissful fun of it. Because this is, you know, you got to understand, when it comes to Karl Rove, this is how he has fun. He is, after all, an old pal and protege of Lee Willie Horton Gonna Get Your Mama Atwater. Right? Yeah, right. So we're up on top of a break. When we come back, let's take it on downhill and see what shakes out. By the way, did you know that the Dow has officially gone to hell? Yeah. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yes. Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. When the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, so I'm a purist. That's the Tia Carrera version. Frankly, I prefer the Sweet. What a great album, that thing all the way through. Desolation Boulevard. Great, great album from the mid to late 70s. Mid-70s. Desolation Boulevard, the Sweet. Email in from a new emailer. And glad to hear from him. Cliff writes from Eugene, Oregon. He says, I listened to you going on about Hillary. She, of course, is running in 08 for president. I'm a Democrat and have been for 79 years. Well, that gives you some street cred in my book. Please try to understand she must appeal not only to liberal Dems, but also to everyone, especially to moderates and so-called undecided voters leaning one way or the other. She cannot and must not say what we liberals want to say. To do so would lose swing voters and moderates and consequently lose the election if she, in fact, is going to be the one running. Personally, I prefer Al Gore. I do, too, Cliff. Cliff, I'm sorry. It's late. I don't usually go 10 to 11, okay? I do prefer Al Gore, Cliff. I would hope you would reconsider your position on her and against those horrible Republicans. It is also true, according to... Well, okay, back up a second. And give her some slack. Yeah. Let's make it clear. If she's the nominee, I'm voting for her in November 2008. I'm going to do it with sort of my fingers crossed and hope for the best, but I'm really hoping that there will be someone else. But I will. I'll vote for her. My God. Like I said, Giuliani, McCain. Yeah. It'll be another nose-holding experience in November. But Cliff goes on and writes, at present she has backing, more money than anyone, and will most likely be the candidate to go to against those horrible Republicans. It is also true, according to polls, that unfortunately the younger generation do not rush to the polls to vote, and that's a fact. Now, Cliff asks, would you have her say everything we want her to say, or would you prefer a Republican sit in the White House in 08? Now, I tend to reject a little bit of that analysis. Hillary Clinton is as much a liberal as you or I. Unfortunately, she has to please everyone to win and not just the base. Once she gets in, she can be what she really is, a liberal. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, Bob, like it or not. Okay, if that's the case, can we work out... Okay, I'm being a smartass. Can we work out some sort of a high sign, a nudge and a wink, you know, a little, you know, down at the waist, kind of a little wave? You know, guys, it's okay. I'm just sounding like this. But what disturbs me, and I've had this discussion before, what disturbs me out of that analysis is this idea that she voted to send American troops to their death so that she could appeal to the middle of the road. And now that we know it's a mistake, she still won't say it was a mistake. At least John Kerry said it was a mistake. And that makes me wonder, because, you know, she's DLC through and through, Democratic Leadership Council. And that tells me that Bob Schrum is triangulating for all he's worth, and, you know, probably somewhere along the way, Mary Beth Cahill has a job and a hand in it somehow. And they're going to get richer than God on payday, trying to make her, you know, the modern-day St. Paul, you know, all things to all people. And that's frightening, because at that point I don't know who she is. I am not willing, you know, Cliff, I'm glad to have you on board, and I hope we'll hear more from you. But I'm not willing to buy into the notion that she is, you know, that she's some sort of a stealth liberal. Or, you know, however else you want to refer to it. Because her voting record does not belie that liberality. Not in the least. You know, a real liberal would have at least gone down and had a cup of coffee on the picket line with the transit workers union. Nope. But when tons of taxpayer money was given away to Goldman Sachs, paid for by New Yorkers in the forms of potholes that don't get filled, raises that aren't paid to city workers, that kind of thing. Well, she was there for the ribbon cutting at Goldman Sachs. Do I want a Republican sitting in the White House in 2008? No, God, no. No, no, no. I didn't want one sitting there in 04 or 00. But this is the downside of that. If what happened in 2000 and 2004 happened, and I believe that it did, and that's a hateful word to me. We all understand. I don't like believing. I prefer knowing. But if that is in fact the case, that Florida and then Ohio were the vote was punked, then they're going to punk it in 08 too. And it'll always be, oh, so close. Yeah, missed it by that much. President Giuliani, President McCain. I don't know if I can do 4 years of talk radio with John McCain in the White House, because I don't know when he's going to go all Dr. Strangelove on us and stand up. Mein Führer, I could have raised my arms. I have no respect for John McCain. less respect, if you can imagine it mathematically, for Rudy Giuliani. And what? Those are the front runners? Now we've got, you know, is Al Gore going to come back? I don't know. I think in his heart of hearts he's toying with it. And I don't know if anybody has pointed out the math and the ironies of the situation, but it was 8 years in the wilderness for Richard Nixon too. And that was after he gave the, oh, you'll not have Richard Nixon to kick around anymore. And he came back with a bloody vengeance in 1968 after swearing off politics. Al Gore swore off politics. Al Gore isn't nearly as hateful and crazy as Richard Nixon. Mark Warner? I could live with Mark Warner. I frankly think that Mark Warner has a great... And that's not to say I think he's a liberal. Wait, stop before the email comes in. No. But if you want to talk about appealing to middle-of-the-roaders, a guy who put through real positive change for working people in Virginia, where the majority in both houses of the legislature is a Republican majority, and who was elected in a Republican majority electorate state and is a Democrat, and has probably, you know, anybody who runs for president has done something along the way that's really ugly and sleazy. If nothing else, they've compromised their values somehow or another. But you want somebody, I mean, you want somebody who can appeal to the so-called middle of the roaders, who I'm more and more beginning to believe simply do not exist. Hillary is never going to appeal to the middle of the road because that cottage industry is there. I said, I don't know if I could do 4 years with McCain in the White House. I don't know if I could stand four more years of Flush Flemball out there screaming about how she killed Vince Foster. Because, again, if you thought what the Swifties did, the sleazeboat veterans, if you thought that what they did to John Kerry was awful and bad and nasty, we have yet to even begin to contemplate what they're going to do to Hillary. And so I simply believe she is unelectable. Like I said, I'll vote for her if she's nominated, but I know for a fact that she will lose. It's predestined, it's preordained, it's black box voting, and it's the fact that every weird little Republican on earth will run out, you know, she's got, you know, she, you know that Hillary's a communist. So, Cliff, thank you very much for your kind note, and I hope to hear from you again. It was very thoughtful and very well considered. But somewhere along the way, I have to be able to do something besides take it on trust that she really is not who she appears to be. I mean, we can have a little secret meeting or something, or like I said, a little secret high sign, you know, really liberal. Yeah. I mean, she can start in the middle of a speech, she can start speaking in pig Latin and say, elf care, hay, orfe, irking way eepel pay. And, you know, maybe that'll do it. I'm being a smart aleck. I apologize. So, but does that make any sense? No, I mentioned before we went into the break that the Dow went to hell today. Well, it's red. It is officially in the red for the year as of today. Because inflation fears... You know, because we no longer have Alan Greenspan to come out and speak Martian and make the market settle down. inflation fears, the idea that the economy's going to cool off. Well, you know, it's a fake. Anybody gone out to buy plywood lately? You know why the economy's going so hot? Because a whole bunch of our stuff is in Iraq. Tumbling commodity prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average went down 0.8%. That's 7 losses out of 8 in the last 8 sessions. And the Dow is off 936 points. That's 8% from its May high. It's down 0.1% for the year. And even the Standard & Poor's Index is down 2% for 2006. So, you know, do please just remember that the next time you see or hear the Dear Leader story. The White House announced today that it created 5,000 hamburger jobs in the month of May. And then you have to wait until August. Now we had to revise those 5,000 hamburger jobs down to one job for a guy named Phil. Part-time. No benefits. No health care. And Phil can't get to work because his car doesn't run. It's tiresome. It's troubling. It hurts. You know, and then... Okay, that's not what I'm after. Because everybody's in on the act. Again, don't go to Newsmax, but you know these dirty SOBs can't resist a chance at a shot at Bill Clinton. Once again, it's a story from a wire service that they couldn't, you know, but they write their own headlines. The body of the story says, former President Bill Clinton has told Florida Democrats that the U.S. should not withdraw from Iraq until the political situation there is stabilized. Quote, the representative government in Iraq is a hopeful sign, but we need to stay there long enough for the politics to get worked out. If we withdrew tomorrow, that government couldn't survive. He said he opposed the Iraq war in the first place before military operations in Afghanistan were completed. But he says without the U.S. military presence there, more terrorists are going to emerge from Iraq. And I think he's correct. Of course, you know, back in 2003 when the bombs were falling, I said, you know, this is a great big Uncle Osama wants you recruiting poster. Fairly straightforward story. What do you get out of it from the right-wing freaks? Here's the headline. Bill Clinton, U.S. should not pull out of Iraq. These are some obsessed little weirdos. And by the way, this creepy little website is out there. I heard this mentioned earlier during one of either Bruce's or Guy's interviews today, talking about how all these right-wing nut books, like the new Coulter book and stuff, are all published by a house called Regnery Press. Are you familiar with Regnery Press? And he laid it out and said, you know, what's important to them is, it's number one on Amazon. So what happens is because the right wing is out there playing chess and 8 moves ahead while we're playing checkers, and I wonder if I'm going to get kinged. Crown me. Because it's like that, and they've got this entire infrastructure with enough money to burn a herd of sopping wet elephants, Ann Coulter releases her filthy little screed. And immediately it is bulk purchased by various and sundry hateful right-wing goose-stepping organizations like Newsmax. And they then give the books away.
They have
No, no, they give the books away, except at places where, oh, wow, they're legitimate journalists now. We've got to help support them. We've got to make sure. Yeah, really, really, because what have I been seeing? Get the new Ann Coulter book, $25 off list price. And there it is, the living proof of what was put forward in that interview earlier today. They're out there hustling her book for $5 a pop. Don't laugh, dear. This is how they perpetrate this kind of fraud. So if you go to Amazon and you go, oh, that's the number one seller. Oh, wow, yo, it's Ann Coulter's book. Now, see, we don't have the right left wing organizations out there who can just pump out money, because being liberals and progressives, we actually want to use money to make it do something. Oh, I don't know, put a roof over somebody's head. Give somebody a cup of soup. How about a winter coat for a kid, some child with winter coming on? But the Republicans, on the other hand, they take their money and bulk purchase Ann Coulter's book and then sell it on Newsmax. Oh, get it for $4.99. I'm sure by next week it'll be, well, 99 cents, and you get the action figure, too.
What does it do?
Seriously, I'm not kidding, dear. You know there's an Ann Coulter action figure out there, don't you?
No, oh my God.
And it's a talking Ann Coulter action figure, and you pull the string or press the button. And it says things like, I think we need to kill all their leaders and convert them all to Christianity. You know, some of her greater moments.
Doesn't have a stake with it.
you see how hard it is for us to work to actually win against all this money? You know, it used to be said that it took Democrats to ever put a Republican in the White House, and that may still be true. But it's gotten a lot simpler since the Republican Party became just awash and wallowed up in money. Regnery Press, every book they put out is immediately mass warehouse bought and sold or given away at a total loss just to create the impression that there is something to conservatism in America, that they actually have an idea, that they have some, but you understand. So at least know what the nature of the con is. And I don't want to be them. But I'm damn tired of playing checkers. They're out there 8 moves ahead, and I'm sitting there, I'm going to take the castle-looking thing, and I'm going to move it next to the pointy thing. And, oh, I lost my castle-looking thing. It's frustrating, isn't it? Well, that's it for tonight. Thank you for hanging around for the odd hours of the program tonight. Now, tomorrow night, like I said, we go back to normal. I hope you'll join me then. I hope you'll join Guy James tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern. I hope you'll join Bruce Birch at 5 p.m. Eastern. And then join me at 7 p.m. Eastern. Do the math for the left coast. It's been a blast tonight. We have really had a lot of fun. And I think in this extra later hour, it's a little punchy. But it means so much to us that you join us and share with us the most precious thing you have, and that is your time. My lovely wife, Agnes, produced the show tonight. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Our chief engineer is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers of Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. The show and every show on the Head On Radio Network happens because thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights get up every day and they go to work and they build the American dream. And in supporting the growth of this network, they make it more likely that we can save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.